Thank God for another Lord's Day. Please be very grateful every time we can come in this manner. In peace and health, be thankful. I want to thank those who prayed as I went on this mission to Melbourne to help comfort the family of this 28-year-old young man, engaged to be married and then found to have extensive, incurable, untreatable cancer. During 1 year, his testimony as a believer shone brightly. 14 years ago, I had baptized him after he received the Lord through the gospel in Bethel Church. And through him, the whole family came to believe and came to be baptized. And this time, it was a glorious testimony of the saving grace of our Lord Jesus, as the funeral parlor was filled to overflowing with relatives, family members and friends to hear the testimonies of how God had saved this young man. During a year of intense suffering and pain, not one complained, but only mindful that his family be firmly established in the faith and to continue to be good witnesses. The parents who had neglected the Lord's Day returned, faithful, thankful for a son's testimony. So for that I was blessed to go there and see the fruit of labors of years. And I said to myself, even if the founding of Bethel Church in 1986 had brought just this one family to the Lord, it was worth it. Thank God. So he being dead, yet speaketh by his life, by his testimony. And his final parting message is, make sure I see you in heaven. Don't backslide. God bless. Now we turn to today's lesson. Please turn to 1 Samuel. I say God can use the story and drama of a family in distress to teach us many wonderful lessons. Did you know that? Why should there be a case of infertility? You know what is infertility? Married and no child. A great distress, which is my business. You know that? And they keep coming. The moment they step into my room, I can almost see it on their faces. When they don't have a child. Let's look into this case of this man and two wives. Wow. 1 Samuel chapter 1. There was a certain man called Elkanah. Jump three lines. We do not read all the extra things. Elkanah. What do we know about Elkanah? As you read the story, we find that he was a God-fearing man. That is very important for us to know. Yes, we do not know much more of his background, but one thing we are sure, God-fearing. Are you God-fearing? Can these two words describe you as a God-fearing person? Oh, my friends, not how rich you are, how smart you are, how good you are to various people in their opinions, but in God's opinion, are you God-fearing? Elkanah was. Now, that's very important to know. Because when you come to verse 2, it says, he had two wives. Wow, what happened? Although it doesn't say here, I will try and read between the lines and tell you the story so that it is more, shall we say, personal and effective, right? He married one of his dream, Hannah. But unfortunately, she produced no child. Can you recall in history, another one who was very God-fearing, married a lady of his dreams, and no children. Surely you remember Abraham, right? Abraham and Sarah, and no child. Then what happened? Well, I believe it was something like that. Since I can't bear another child, Elkanah, you get another one. Like Abraham brought in Hagar, and that was the beginning of problem. Here it is, repeated. Oh, my friends, pray that you will accept what God gives. If it is an infertile wife, thank God that without the cumbrance of children, I don't say that they are not a blessing, they are a blessing. But when you do not have children and submit to the Lord, you both can serve the Lord even more effectively in cases. So here it is. So now Elkanah marries a second, and there the trouble begins. Any ideas in anybody's head, please dismiss them, because once enough. Yes, now read on. Verse 2, he had two wives. The first one was Hannah, and the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Verse 3, this man went up out of the city yearly, faithful, constant, devout. It may have been some distance, but this was the requirement. If you love God, come to the temple. At that time, no temple, but the tabernacle. Nevertheless, they referred to it as the temple of God. Elkanah never neglected. And I say that's why we call him a godly person. You too. Never you think taking leave from God on the Sunday, the Lord's Day, saying, never mind, I'm so tired, I didn't need to take leave. Elkanah went up yearly, verse 3, to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. This is just to mention these two awful characters, a disgrace to parents and to God. Now we run on. Verse 4. When the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah and to all the children portions. This was the custom. After you sacrifice and of the meat of the sacrifice, they are distributed. Now, verse 5. Here is favoritism. Okay. Unto Hannah he gave double portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. This is the key to the understanding of this story, dear friends. If you read and do not notice, I am drawing your attention to this. Look at the next verse, please. Her adversary, who was this? Number 2, became her enemy. Also provoked her sore, that is, kept on putting needles into her, casting remarks, so that life became almost intolerable for Hannah. Verse 6. For to make her fret, frustrate her, provoke her, make her angry, make her unhappy, even to the point of breaking down in tears. Because, this is the key to the understanding of this whole story. The Lord had shut up her womb. This is repeated twice. First at the end of verse 5, then at the end of verse 6, and these two remarks are not written there for nothing. God was at work in this drama of human sorrow and conflict. God was at work. Do you understand this? If there are unhappy events in your life and you're a godly person, look to God. Ask Him, why, Lord? Show it to me. Is there something you want me to do? This is the case with Elkanah and Hannah. God was working out something beyond their knowledge, beyond their understanding. God was at work. Shut up the womb of Hannah. Today, when people are infertile, now science has advanced so much since my day. Please remember, I left university 37 years ago. And during the 37 years, so much medical advancement has taken place that infertile couples whose wombs are shut up go to gynecologists and at a fee of 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, they spend that money in order to get a child. Some do, some don't. But in desperation, know the word desperation? When you have no way to turn and you are in urgent need and you want something so badly, they spend. Right? In this case, God was at work in order to shut the womb of this woman, to open her heart. When man is in extremis, God has a great opportunity to do something in the life of Hannah. Read on. And as he did so year by year, we do not know how many years, but you know, it could have been many years. But Elkanah never gave up. And Hannah never gave up. Now, in this case, it says here, when she went up to the house of the Lord, she provoked, that is, number two. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to Hannah, Hannah, why do you cry? Why don't you eat? Why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Answer, oh, of course not, you silly man. I want a son. You are my husband. You can be better than 10 sons? Impossible. Nothing will comfort an infertile woman. Only what? I say, dear friends, God shut up her womb to open her heart. And here I want to give you something quite interesting. Lesson in Chinese. Zi, okay. Man or masculine person, okay. And the Lord says, man alone is no good. You must be good. Have a woman. This is God's plan. And when you break that law of God, there will be trouble. Unfortunately for Elkanah, he resorted to this. There is no such word in Chinese, by the way. I don't know what to make out of this new word, but it says no good. Only this is good. How? And this one is nothing. Now I want to say to all of us here, friends, don't just write threes a fight. Don't try. Quietly keep one in Batam and have a nice weekend. There will be problems. You read it, the newspaper is full of these things, full of it. Why? The carnal nature wants to read such things and imagine themselves trying such things. Not good. Two's just right. Now, my friends, I just go on a bit more. So, keep to two. God's plan for man is that. And I said that David? Yes. No. Abraham. All right. That's Abraham. Now, Abraham's grandson. Abraham's grandson. Wow, I don't know where to put them. He had four. Four women, no space now. You know, he had four wives, plenty of trouble. And you want peace in the home, this is your home, this is your roof over your home. And the Lord says, that's right, I give you one, you have peace. Peace! The best thing in life is health and peace. Without peace, the home becomes hell, you know. Home becomes hell. So I don't know how to accommodate this. One home, one is enough. My dear friends, this little thing I hope will stay with you a long time. By the grace of God and the power of His Word, please remember, God's plan is perfect. Now we go on to see the story of Hannah, please. Verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh. And after they had drunk, now Eli the priest sat upon the by the post in the seat of the temple of God. Now here comes the drama. Verse 10. Please follow. And Hannah was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Oh, my friends, understand the tears of bitterness, tears of frustration. In her deep despair, there is that number two always putting needles into her. And that opened her heart to the Lord, you know. In her great grief, who can help me? My husband says he's like 10 sons. I don't need 10 sons. I need only one. Who can give me that one? Her heart opened to the Lord. I said, dear friends, when you have problems like that, which you cannot tell others, you cannot share with even your husband, maybe. Something that is so terrible, so serious, and that it eats into your very soul, then you open your heart to the Lord, and He is only a prayer away. Please remember, did you pray this morning as you came to church, before you came? What time did you spend with the Lord this morning? Oh, please understand, we have a Heavenly Father who is ever anxious, waiting to commune and to fellowship with you. Here is Hannah. She is our example for this morning. Verse 11. She vowed a vow. And here I want to say, Solomon says, better you don't vow than vow and don't pay. So be very careful when you vow. Vow means a solemn promise before God and say, Lord, I will do this if you do that. Read what she says. Verse 11. She vowed a vow to the great God she worships. What does she say? O Lord of hosts, if you indeed will look on the affliction of your handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, a baby boy, then I will give him back to you all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Amen. This is from her bleeding heart. Bleeding, so tormented by the number two, so distressed and burdened by the fact that she has got no child. Whom shall I look to but my God, whom I come here all the way to sacrifice to? Is it in vain? Is God able to do? Is He able to help? What is your problem, dear friends, today? So many of us have problems that are not shareable. Only the Lord is waiting to hear your problem. Will you come to Him and submit to Him? Tell Him. Unload your problems to Him and see if He will not answer your prayer. And if need be, add a vow to it. If need be, even bargain with God for it. Here is a bargain. I would say this is a sanctified bargain. Hannah says, Lord, if you give me a boy, I will give it back to you.
Wow.
That's not an easy vow, you know. After I get the boy, I want to hold on to him. Why should I give it back to God? Ah, but he says, if God doesn't give me, I'll never have a child. Never. Now, Lord, if you give me the pleasure of a boy, a son of my own, I will enjoy him for a few years until he is weaned. How old do they wean them in Israel in all of those days? I met someone who was still breastfeeding the child at about 6 or 7. So, in those days, maybe they don't have powdered milk, they don't have fresh milk, they just use mother's milk. And especially if you have only one, you can breastfeed her for quite a number of years. Alright, that's the deal. Lord, here's the bargain. You give me a son, I'll give him back to you after I wean him. He will become your servant. And he will be, you see, this is mother's desire from a devout woman, a promise to God, I will offer him back to you to be a Nazarite. One who is set apart from the ordinary people to be your servant, who will not allow any kind of intoxicating drink to come into his life. Or anything that defiles him, such as a dead body, he will never go near. And he'll keep himself holy for your use. No razor to come upon his head. He will be a Nazarite. Lord, I promise you, you give me that son, I will give him back to you to serve you. I say, I dare say it was God giving her the words and the desire. If you know that at that time the priest there was called Eli, a most, I would say, negligent and tolerant and a failure of a father. For his two sons were at the temple committing sexual sins with those who came there to worship. And he did nothing about it except to say, oh, please don't. It's not a good thing to do, you know. And that's it. God had his time. Eli must be replaced. I will raise up a good priest. Hannah, you are the one. God opened the heart of Hannah to pray that prayer, and God will answer it according to her prayer, a Nazarite, a priest of God, a servant who will come to take the place of Eli, the impotent priest. I say, God is great. Do you know God is so great? That he'll hear your prayer, he'll answer it, and in that answer, he'll do more than you ask for. Of course, Hannah never thought that my son would become the great high priest there, take the place of Eli. Because Hannah knew nothing about that. All she wanted was a son. But God had destined and willed and prepared a son, yes. Through Hannah, yes. Godly parents. And that son will become prophet, priest, and judge of all Israel. A very important man. How? Where did he come from? From a desperate woman who prayed. Who prayed a desperate prayer. Lord, I've been married so long, and that number two is provoking me all the time. Please, please hear my prayer. What is your problem? I repeat this 3 times already. You've got no problem? I say, wonderful. Blessed are those who have no problems. I have problems. You know, it's not nice or easy to have threats of jail and legal action for false accusations. It's not a nice thing to live through. But God is my portion and my comfort for my co-pastor, Reverend Quek, and myself. We pray. Are you praying, dear friends? Please. If we all pray, we will see the answer of God very soon. You believe that? You're not desperate yet, so you're not praying. I pray that God will give us all a desperate heart, a desperate spirit to say, Lord, you must answer us. We cannot go on since July last year to now. It's already 8 or 9 months or more. What? Yeah, 9 months. And how long should this go on for? Like Hannah, let us go to God and with weeping and tears say, Lord, please hear our prayer. We need your help. Lawyers cannot help us. Lawyers give us only big bills to pay. We need the Lord. So please pray along with us that God will deliver this church from an awful, awful persecution that we have never seen in 27 years, in my 55 years, never heard, never seen in the BB Church, first time. Pray that God will give us the heart of Hannah. That faith that God, you surely can open my womb. After all, the two verses says, God shut up my womb, right? God shut it up. Now I say, God, open it, please. Did God hear? Same in the church. Now we are in a bit of an uncomfortable situation, but it is not good. Lord, do you know? Of course the Lord knows. Lord, can you help? Of course he can help. Are you praying? Please pray with us. Now let's see. Hannah said, I will give him back to the Lord when he is weaned. Verse 19, all the rest in between, we will leave it for you to read at home if you are interested. But 19, then after that grievous, teary prayer, which no doubt ascended to the throne of grace in heaven, and I say the same to you. You have a problem, go in tears, heart open to the Lord, and say, Lord, please hear me. God will hear. Verse 19 says, they rose up the next morning, worshipped before the Lord, returned, and came to the house. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her and opened her womb. Now you hear the answer to prayer. So many times we pray and say, what for? God doesn't hear. Do you know that if we pray according to His will, He heareth us without exception? Prayers that are not answered are simply not according to His will or not according to His timing. Please understand that. No prayer of the righteous will ever be thrown away and ignored. Never, never. Pray, keep praying. So, the Lord remembered her and her prayer in Shiloh. Now comes the gift of a boy. Better than 10 sons. Oh, husband Elkanah, you are wrong. God has given me a boy. Verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come, 9 months after, Hannah conceived and she brought forth a son and called his name, asked of God, Samuel. I asked and God gave me this boy. How wonderful. How wonderful that first cry when the boy emerges into this world and gives that lusty, ha, wow, 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 wow. From that day, the home is never the same again. You know that? All you young fathers and mothers, you have no more sleep at night, no more peace. Everything is focused and spins around that little thing. You do everything according to what that new arrival's need is. So it is. But thank God. Thank God. After all, you ask for it, isn't it? So when you ask for it, you get it. Thank God. Do your night duties happily, willingly. Even though it robs you of all your sleep, you are still happy, isn't it? So here we are. Hannah and Elkanah have now their heart's desire. Now verse 24. 24. And when she had weaned Samuel and taken him up with her with three bullocks, one ephah of flour, bottle of wine, brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. I wonder how you would feel to part with your child, your son. How old was he? I said, maybe six, maybe more. If she was not willing to let him go, feed him another year, but sooner or later he'll be too big to breastfeed. So he must be returned to the Lord according to vow. Better not vow than to vow and then forget it. And it could have happened, isn't it? Hannah could have changed her mind, could she? Possible, possible. Oh, my son is so precious, Lord, please wait. Maybe postpone it. Maybe, Lord, you get somebody else. I'll find you another young man. You can have him. But Hannah remembered her vow, even as God remembered her prayer. God was faithful. She was faithful. And so, verse 25. And so they offered a bullock and brought the child to Eli, that old useless priest, the one who allowed his two sons to debauch the women. Verse 26. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood here time ago praying to the Lord. And he said, who's that woman? Mouth moving but no sound. He must be drunk. And my friends, the lesson here is prayer is from the heart, not with the volume of sound that comes out of your mouth. If you can make a lot of sound without the heart, that prayer does not go beyond the roof. God doesn't hear those prayers. Let us pray in spirit and in truth, please. Every time you go on your knees, let your heart also submit to God. Bow to Him and tell Him your needs in spirit and in truth, you say. Jesus says, you want to worship God? Of course. How? In spirit and in truth. Worship God in prayer, in spirit and in truth. Let's pray from our hearts with a clean heart. God will hear. And here she was. Lord, verse 27. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of Him. How wonderful. Can we all repeat this whenever we have a prayer answered? When was the last time God answered your prayer? Don't wait till you're desperate. But of course, if you're desperate, don't forget to pray. All of us must pray. But keep praying, because it is a fellowship of saints with the Lord, and it is the way we grow. You don't grow if you don't pray. And pray earnestly. I say again, the best hour of prayer is before the sun rises. And you pray to the Lord. Here she is. Lord, this is the child you gave me. You heard my prayer. You heard my vow. Here I am to pay that vow. Verse 28. Therefore also I have lent him. This term is, has got a very sweet meaning. Lord, I lend him to you. In other words, I still own him, but you keep him. He's mine, you gave it to me, my son. I lend him to you. In other words, I do not cut him off altogether. I give him to God, he's no more mine. There is that mother love. I still own him. Why, after all, I only lend him to the Lord. And the Lord can keep that child forever. But every year I'll come and say, son, how are you? That's good, isn't it? So I lend him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Now God gave Hannah another prayer. The first was a prayer of desperation. Right? This new prayer is one of jubilation, rejoicing. Now I've got my heart's desire given to me. How shall I pray? I no longer weep tears, but it's with great rejoicing. And we want to read the next three verses. You read on, there is the rejoicing of Hannah. Chapter 2, verse 1, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies. Now, Peninnah can shut up. I have a son. And God gave her three more sons and two daughters. Wow, what a wonderful gift, isn't it? Our God gives and does exceeding abundantly above what you ask or think. Read on. Verse 2. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly, O Peninnah. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. Thank God He kept me faithful, that I have not forgotten my vow. I brought him to the Lord. Now, Lord, lend it to you. How's your prayer life, dear friends? Have you ever prayed in desperation? 1969. No, go back further. 1942. February 15th. The day the British surrendered and the Japanese came and became our masters for 3.5 years. I want to tell this as my personal testimony. 15th of February 1942 was Chinese New Year. Of course, we were still under bombardment. And that day those shells came as per usual. Coming from the Straits of Johor, they came flying over and where we were in the place called Ah Hood Road, near Kim Kiat Road. One shell dropped into the shelter next to ours. And one man got one leg taken off. We were next to that shelter. We were safe. God reminded me, you gave your life to serve the Lord in 1938. Remember. Hannah remembered her vow. You remember. Of course, I never forgot. But that big shell explosion brought to mind, vow must fulfill. 1969, when I left the university, a friend said to me, come, Changi Yacht Club. You love sailing, don't you? I said, sure, I'll join you. So we went sailing twice. Second time I took the boat out, it was called a Laser. It was a racer. I didn't know. Never went for sailing lessons. Just try. Very soon, I sailed straight into a Sumatra storm. I never had that experience before or after and do not wish to have it again because the boat capsized. But thank God it is an unsinkable boat. Unsinkable. So upside down I sat on the bottom of the boat and just prayed. The rain was so heavy I could not see one end of the boat from the other. Literally, you just do not see because the buckets of water were coming down and lightning and thunder flashing back and forth. I said, surely this time I'm finished. Surely. Dozens of thunders and lightnings all around me and I was there. I said, Lord, this is my prayer. Lord, I vow. You spare me, I will serve you. Definitely. My friend says, join the yacht club and sail and spend your weekends. I said, no more. No more. I will give all my spare time to serve you. I never forgot. I didn't join yacht club or golf club or any club. Only the Lord's club. Serve the Lord all my days. 1969 till now. Non-stop. Serving the Lord every moment of every day, every spare moment, every spare minute, serve the Lord. Why? If that lightning had just touched me, I'd be finished. Next morning, straight time, say, gynecologist found dead in the Straits of Johor. Wow. Dear friends, better not vow than vow and not fulfill. Hannah is the example for all of us. Desperate for a boy. And he prayed, she prayed, and God heard her, gave her the boy, she remembered. Lord, this is your boy. I lend it back to you. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, may thy Holy Spirit lead us into a deeper relationship with thee, a deeper fellowship, a deeper knowledge of God, that we will all yearn to be like the Lord Jesus, that the Lord Jesus may be seen in us. O Lord, may thou produce the image of the Lord Jesus in each one of his people here who desires by earnest prayer and petition. Hear our prayer today and bless this congregation. Make us all to be a praying people. All our problems to come to thee and commit to thee, the one who is so wonderful, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Hear this our prayer, Lord, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.